All right. Welcome, my friends and fellow Academy members, for the second Mastermind Q&A call with Dr. John Bergman this month of November 2018. How you doing, Doc?
Really, really good. Ted, thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah. This is great. We have a ton of questions, and we got a lot of cool people here. So if you guys can hear us in the chat room, let us know so that we can, so that we know we're not talking to the wall. So if you can let us know, that would be great. It looks like Adele is here. Guest 3949 is here. Good to see you. CB is here. This is great. Mike, guest 4682, 3661. I love these guest number names. This is great. So Doc, how have you been?
Really good. Just working a lot.
Working a lot, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of exciting things coming down the pike. The clinic in Mexico is going to be amazing.
Yeah, so how is that looking? Is so that's a project you're working on your spare time, if you have any, right?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be going back up to 6 days a week, so... You know, yeah. We just have to do it. I mean, we've got more freedoms down there. I could get people off of drugs the first day.
Wow.
You know, it's going to be a whole neurologically based clinic. So Parkinson's, MS, autism. It's going to be fun.
That is really, really cool. Good, good stuff. All right. Well, let's start off with some of these questions that I sent to you. Let's start off with a body spasms question. Yordanos wants to know, hi, Dr. Bergman. I really appreciate sharing your knowledge. Thank you. My body starts spasms most often. Why? I did everything I can, eating organic, healthy food, 30 minutes working out every day. I drink water and took global healing products. Those are some good products. Multivitamins for me and my kids. What can I test if I can do, and do you have any recommendations, chiropractor in Vermont?
Yeah, the best thing, you got to find a chiropractor, because that's the one thing that's absolutely necessary. Muscles don't react on their own. So a muscle that just goes into spasm is designed to protect things. So if you have spasms in the glute, or flexor spasms, or QL spasms, none of those stuffs are possible unless there's some type of disc dysfunction, or it's called proprioception, where the body is telling the brain to increase the tone to stabilize something. So you're going to have more than likely an unstable pelvis or some type of structural deviation. Mm-hmm. And use the 7 questions that we have on the internet to find a correct chiropractor.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, cool. Guest 3661 says, first of all, I want to say thank you for everything you are doing and sharing. I live in Sweden, so I can see everything that you have posted. So that of course is great. But I want to ask if, okay, if 2 p.m. is the time you'll continue to go live. That's true. So that's now. What should you do if a child who's 9 years old is getting or has alopecia, besides getting rid of things that affect their immune system? Are there any supplements that would help, do you think?
Yeah, actually, we're seeing a rash of this. Wow. And the alopecia in kids, it's horrible. A lot of times it looks like big old square things have been pulled out. Digestive enzymes are going to be one of the keys. Getting them detoxed, because they're going to be on, you know, vaccines, and the vaccines will give a leaky gut, and that's where 80% of the immune system is. So vitamin IVs will be ideal. Digestive enzymes will be ideal. Gluten-free, dairy-free diet. And you've got to get them to a corrective chiropractor ASAP.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good stuff. Yeah, okay, so about 7 out of, okay, here we go, another question about, from the chat room, it looks like bowel movement question, about 7 out of 10 times I have a bowel movement, I have to blow my nose. Interesting, no pain, but was curious about what this might be. That's interesting.
During straining, you're increasing intrathecal pressure inside of your body, and when you're straining to get that stool out, you're going to actually increase the pressure on the sinuses. So it's actually, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why it only happens. Do you think it's an allergy to something?
It could be hypersensitive mucous membranes, and that could be from food, or because an allergy is just an abnormal recognition of a foreign protein. And so there's some type of hypersensitization, more likely of the mucous membranes. Could be excess histamines, but, you know, good diet, good nerve supply, you know, all of that will desensitize those mucous membranes.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, here's another question about acid reflux. Hello, all. This is from Michelle. Thank you so much for these sessions. I have been to Mecca for the first series of adjustments. Follow all instructions. This is great. To Mecca. I love that. My gut problems did a 180, but I still have an occasional acid feeling in my esophagus. Minor, though. Is that just something that I am prone to? May I just need to deal with? Or do I see a corrective chiro to continue what he started, meaning you, I guess, Dr. Bergman, to keep up until I can get back to Huntington Beach?
Yeah, corrective chiropractor immediately, absolutely. Also, a quick fix is to take your right hand, ball it up into a fist, put it on your left-hand side of your tummy, and push in and pull down. So in and down. And what that'll do, that'll literally move the stomach away from that diaphragm. And keep doing the neck curve exercises, because the nerve that supplies the diaphragm comes out of the base of the neck. And so it's going to be ultimately a neck issue. So all the stuff that we did to get your neck curve back will help. It's going to be that sensation. And then drinking water a half hour before a meal, during a meal, or a half hour after a meal. And you might want to take, bentane hydrochloric acid for about a month to increase the acid in the stomach.
Okay, yeah, so that's really important, right? Especially if someone's going to be eating meat, right? You want to make sure you're taking some HCL with that, right?
Absolutely.
With protein meals. But I'm learning now that HCL isn't something you want to be on long term, too.
Yeah, no longer in like a month.
Okay, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, because anytime your body makes something, you don't really want to add something.
Okay, yeah, because it's an exogenous source of an endogenous process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And because that can also mask the real problem.
Okay. Yeah, I've been learning a lot about that lately. Okay, so I have a question here about fatty liver in connection with thoracic subluxation. So if Ithakar, he's a member, says, had asked for my atrial fibrillation condition before with severe pain while walking around T4, T5 region. You said it may be due to my rib cage being twisted around T4. I have non-alcoholic fatty liver, as told to me by my general practitioner. Also, a portion of my left foot thumb nail having fungus. Two cysts in my left kidney. Please advise if all these conditions are my body's adaptive response to a subluxation, which is a controversial term in mainstream literature around T4, T5. Wish I may consult with you again, but I am in Australia. Thanks, Dr. Bergman. You're a star.
Yeah, it's a subluxation is a controversial term unless you read the journal Spine, a surgery journal, and they're very well aware of subluxations.
Right. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's, and you know, organic food is not that good for you. You know, I mean, there's a lot of urban legends. Yeah. But absolutely, when you're looking at non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, high fructose corn syrup is the leading cause. And so it's the body getting toxins, and it's negatively affecting the liver. And the liver can be healed, but we got to heal the gut. And understanding that between T4 and T5, that's where the muscles that support the head go. So if there's loss of curve in the neck, the head's going to be forward, and that's going to be straining that area. So you got to get a full, complete structural. There's physical, chemical, and emotional. Structural assessment by a corrective chiropractor, absolutely. And then with a fatty liver, there's a lot of things that can detox the liver. You know, you're talking milk thistle, vitamin C, L-lysine. I mean, there's a bunch of things that you could do, but you got to get the structure fixed first. Because if I'm standing on your foot and you're doing all the necessary dietary changes, but your body's still in that stress state, you're not going to metabolize the nutrients. So structure first, diet, nutrition second, look at your sleep patterns third, heal the gut. So gluten-free, dairy-free for a while. I mean, no packaged, processed, or preserved foods. And your liver will start to heal. Possibly you might need a colonic or a series of three colonics. Then once your bowels are moving correctly, then you can get a liver cleanse. Mm-hmm. And that would do it.
Yeah, we had some guests on recently talking about putting castor oil over the liver, like doing a castor oil pack, and those are good, as well as coffee enemas are good too, but they're kind of extreme, but they're good as well, right?
Yep. I prefer coffee going in this way, but yeah.
Don't we all?
I don't know. I'm not in a position to judge.
I'm not judging. Okay, a couple of people in the chat room are asking, they're new and they want to know if they have to sign up to ChatRoll. So ChatRoll is just the software that we're using to ask questions. So if you want to just hang out and listen and watch, you don't have to sign up to ChatRoll. You can sign in as a guest, but ChatRoll is a sort of a third party software plugin that we're using. So it's not really connected to the Academy. It's just a separate software. So, you can just put in your name and email and sign up for an account or just sign in as a guest. And that way you guys can, ask your questions. But if you don't want to ask any questions, and just hang out, then you can just hang out and you don't have to sign in to ChatRoll at all. So I got a question here from Amy, a little fire. This is awesome. I love Amy. She's cool. She's always in the forums and stuff. How can I get my bowels back after being adjusted? I feel they have been in limbo. I've tried slippery elm. This is some good stuff she's tried. Digestive enzymes, H2O, water, fiber. Will it get better the more I get adjusted? Good question.
And make sure that the chiropractor is looking at pelvic stability. There may be an unstable pelvis, so you might need a trochanter support because that houses half of that autonomic nervous system. Make sure they're utilizing x-rays. Because once you get the parasympathetic nervous system working right, everything works right. You might also want to do the yoga water trick to stimulate that peristalsis, where you drink about 20 ounces of water hot, almost as hot as tea, but you got to drink that bolus of water down in the space of about a minute. Okay. Then you put your elbows on the kitchen counter, stand away from the counter, so your tummy's hanging in the air, then force it out and force it in over about 3 to 4 minutes. And then that, it's called visorsomatic, where if you can affect the organs, it affects the body. And that will also help.
Awesome. Just some supplements I can think of, that you, or some foods, if you want to call them that. Colostrum is always really good. There's a product by Restore for Life that's really good that helps with glyphosate and leaky gut. There's bone broth protein powder and obviously enzymes. There's probiotics that you can take either in supplement form or in food form. Food form is always the best, right, Doc?
Absolutely. Whole food form is the best, most absorbable.
Yeah. And L-glutamine is also really tremendous for the gut too. Okay. Let's see here. Judy says, I asked questions on a separate page. It said, click here to submit a question, but I don't see my question on the queue. Do I need to type it in here instead? Judy, if you could type it in here into the chat room, that would be awesome. And if you could type it in all caps, that helps too. So thanks, Amy, for doing that. Let's see. Guest 7665 says, I've had elevated prolactin, 15 NGs over mLs for 1.5 years with hormonal and health issues, including thyroid, adrenal, and hair loss. I'm 30 years old following an organic plant-based diet, never been pregnant. I switched to Chiro based in TRT 3X or 3 times a week for the past 9 weeks without any change. My pelvic ultrasound was fine, so my MD is pushing for an MRI with contrast to look for pituitary tumors as a cause, which I have thus far been refusing. Any alternative thoughts, suggestions, and solutions? So it sounds like some thyroid issues, Doc.
Yeah, and at 30, if she's fully vaccinated, she would have had around 54 vaccines. Uh-huh. So, and then also antibiotic use in the past. So I'd be asking about consistent urinary tract or some type of chronic infections mm-hmm. when she was a child. And then that will disrupt the hormones. And all the endocrine disrupting chemicals that that people are exposed to today is through hair care products, nail paints, cleaning products. All of that stuff can interrupt that communication pathway and also cause the same kind of symptoms. A pituitary tumor is going to be rare, but it's getting more and more common. There's also a way to check vision. Because the pituitary is right behind this optic chiasm where the eyeball, the eye nerve for one half of each eye crosses. And so there'll be tunnel vision. So if there's less lateral vision, that's also an indicating that there's a pituitary tumor. But that's a real rare cause. Look for the most common ones of endocrine disruptors and heal in the gut, stabilize in the pelvis. Make sure the chiropractor you're going to really took x-rays. and they're going to do post x-rays so they can document structural changes. Because a lot of chiropractors, they're not really adjusting with the intent to alter autonomic function. They're adjusting for symptoms, and that won't be effective.
Interesting. And also blocking blue light on your thyroid would probably be something to consider, I think, as well, making sure that you block your thyroid gland from any cell phone radiation or blue light coming off your screens. And then also, Doc, what do you think about doing some, like, the 24-hour test with the iodine and making sure you're getting enough iodine in the skin?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely.
Okay. Hopefully that helps a bit. Let's go to one of our questions from the emails here. Janice wants to know soluble fiber for high blood pressure. You mentioned soluble fiber in your video about high blood pressure. What would you give some examples on soluble fiber and how it will help with high blood pressure?
Oh yeah. Well, if you look at it, blood pressure is normal based on your circumstance. Typically, people aren't taking the blood pressure correctly, where you're sitting down deep breathing for 5 minutes. The example that I give for soluble fiber is if, like, you have celery, you put in a that's out heavy here and liquid here. The liquid is the soluble fiber, and that actually gets in there to clean the arteries. You can also clean arteries, because this is if you've had long-term toxic exposure. The arteries' walls can get stiff. And Linus Pauling came up with a combination of vitamin C and L-lysine. And he's talking about 5 grams of vitamin C and 2 grams of L-lysine a day for about a month. And that'll help clean the arteries as well. But look for checking the blood pressure correctly, because that would be it was done incorrectly. Nobody has high blood pressure. Yeah. You know, if you're under stress, physical, chemical, or emotional stress, your blood pressure will go up. If your blood is not efficient at doing its job, blood pressure will go up. Mm-hmm. And so look at that. It's going to be more of an adaptive physiology to stress, and that could be physical, chemical, or emotional. And then you got to look at the number you're going for. If you're over 60, it's now 150 over 90. Some doctors will say it's 130 over 80. A few years ago, it was 115 over 75. So they can't really agree on what the number is supposed to be in the first place.
Wow, that's crazy. Man, so yeah, there's a doctor on our show a while back who was talking about heavy metals, and it's interesting that you know, heavy metals apparently have something to do with high blood pressure, and so I'm thinking maybe chelation might be good, you know, for someone to consider.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people are just gummed up with heavy metals these days, right?
Yeah, and you think if the body has that chemical stressor, the blood's not going to be efficient at doing its job, because with the heavy metals, you're not able to process the nutrients, and there's a lot of toxicities and more consistent inflammation. So blood pressure has to go up to adapt to that toxic situation. Mm-hmm. So it's an intelligent response.
Yeah, we had a doc on our show a while back. It was really interesting, Dr. Darren Schmidt. And I don't know if he's a chiropractor or not, but you may be familiar with him. He's on YouTube. And he was talking about this sort of disease, quote, disease that no one really talks about, which was lactic acidosis. And he was saying basically it's dirty blood. And one of the things he was finding that was in these sort of old-time remedy books from like 1900s and things was high-dose specific B vitamins to clean the blood. And so, I don't know, it seems like if you clean the blood, every downline system would start improving as well, right?
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go. Guest 3661 says here, how much protein, Doc, would you recommend if you are working out effectively intense 5 times every week? How much protein if you don't work out so intense?
It's interesting. The protein isn't the primary one. That's only like 7% of your diet. Mm-hmm. And plant-based proteins are way better for you. Mm-hmm. To replenish, look at healthy fats. Because healthy fats, because you're burning up a ton of energy, so you get a healthy coconut fat-based smoothie afterwards, that'll replenish that the electrolytes, and the fats are the best thing to build up with afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in the body, in the bodybuilding world, don't they say something like, what is it? Like a 60 to 80 grams of protein a day. But those guys are eating like 5 steak meals a day. I mean, geez, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit nuts. It's like, sumo wrestlers and things. There's a lot of things that don't, like sumo wrestlers mainly put on their bulk because of huge amounts of rice.
Yeah, right.
You need only so much. It's not like you eat protein and that's what muscles are made of and then that's what you're going to go into. No, you get the amino acids from a lot of different plant products as well as animal.
Right. And then also how well does your body break down amino acids? Because if somebody is really gummed up and their digestion is not working right, they may need, like, let's say the goal is to add muscle. They may need, I don't know, let's say 60 grams of protein a day. But if you get someone who's cleaned themselves out and their body's really able to absorb and utilize amino acids, then maybe they need 40 grams of amino acids or protein per day because their body's more efficient. So that's something to consider as well, right? Like, how well are we absorbing this stuff?
Absolutely. So digestive enzymes would also be a good thing to make sure that you're breaking everything down.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Okay, Adele says here, do I have to give up cheese? I love Adele. She's awesome. She's up in LA. Do I have to give up cheese? It's organic pasture-raised cows from a small farm, a vegetarian rennet, to be healthy. Also, my organic wine. I'm afraid to ask as my family has wine vineyards. No way. Okay.
Okay. This is pertinent to the research I've been doing this weekend. We're doing a talk on aging this coming Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
So, I'm breaking down the blue zones, which people consistently live beyond 100. The oldest living woman in the world would smoke one cigarette a day as she lived to 122 and one glass of port a day.
Wow.
And when you look at the longest living males in Sardinia, they drink an average of 7 liters of red wine a month.
Wow.
But look at it. It's not sulfurized. It's organic. It's normal. And the dairy actually increases what's called NAD. And this is low levels of NAD actually cause an increase in aging. High levels of NAD actually help your body utilize the nutrients so it doesn't get stored as fat and it doesn't become toxic. And dairy is one of the sources of it. And what they found is there's not a lot of cows or cow dairy products like that, but goat and sheep, and it's usually in the fermented form like cheese or yogurt. And then that helps break it down further. So let's just look at what people do that live over 100.
Yeah, it's smart, right? I mean, we had a guest on our show a while back, a local doctor, a Lyme guy, Dr. Darren Engels, and he's, I think he's in Irvine, and he was in our studio a few months ago, and he was talking about wine, and he was saying, Doc, it's interesting that even organic wine can have glyphosate in it because glyphosate is so sort of insidious that it's like permeating all of the top soils, and so even if it's organic wine, it's probably also watered with conventional tap water, which has loads of chemicals. So, but wine, I drink wine every now and then, Doc. I mean,
yeah, French and Italian, they're guaranteed to have low or no pesticides. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a safe one. Plus, a buddy of mine makes his own. So we know that that's organic and, exactly how it's made and grown.
I know, right? You can't beat a good glass of wine every now and then, I say.
Absolutely.
And plus, you know what? Even if you are getting a little bit of glyphosate, we had Stephanie Seneff on the show a while back, and she was talking about how most likely we're breathing glyphosate in because of the ethanol and gas, which is about 10% of all gasoline, which comes from corn, which is sprayed with Roundup. And so if you're going to be breathing it, and it's like you can't get away from this stuff. And essentially, Doc, if we're taking care of our bodies, right, we're doing all the right things, we're living a detoxification lifestyle, we should be able to handle a little bit of this stuff, right?
Absolutely. We've got so many redundant systems designed to consume things that are toxic, and then your body gets working again. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the appendix. Uh-huh. The appendix is there, so if you do get diarrhea and your normal gut flora gets wiped out, you get the appendix to repopulate the intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
Our bodies are just amazing. Guest 3949 says, had all the analysis numerous times for allergic rhinitis, and apart from the steroid spray, nothing works, and even that doesn't work well, so I don't use it. My nose gets blocked after I sneeze at odd times. Can't nail it even if I kept a diary. Most of the time it comes out of the blue, it seems, and stops out of the blue. Nothing I can identify, nothing an allergist can identify either.
The allergists are, it's like neurologists. They're like, right, not the sharpest tack in the bunch.
Yeah.
Look that there's some kind of an irritation. I mean, if you're doing the diet and everything else, there can actually be subluxations of the facial bones that can make the mucous membranes hypersensitive. There's also subluxation patterns in the upper neck on the nerves that supply that make it hypersensitive. So that means that would make sense. It would sometimes come out of the blue and then go away. So if your body's in one position, you could be compromising those nerves. Body is in a different position, the nerves aren't compromised. And just like when your arm falls asleep, you decrease the pressure on the nerves, it increases the sensitization. It's like your arm gets all numb, tingly and stuff. So that means it gets more sensitive when the nerve gets compromised. And so find a chiropractor that's skilled in facial and skull adjusting, and make sure you get your upper neck checked.
Yeah, interesting. Rhinitis. So that's obviously an inflammation, like you just said, of that pathway. And do you think there's any issue? Because I know with a lot of people with allergies, like, people don't think about this, but it's a lot of times the root cause is sometimes in the gut. Like, you know, the famous saying that all health and all disease begins in the gut. Do you think there's a gut connection here too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Particularly if you've been squirting steroids, that's going to decrease the health of the nose. So, eating healthy bacteria-containing foods, do buteic breathing where you breathe in and out through your nose, and then that will also help desensitize it, where you literally breathe in and out four times through your nose, then blow out all your air, hold your nose, and go back and forth, move your head back and forth until you can't breathe anymore, then breathe in through your nose, and then that has the brain desensitize that tissue because it thinks that your mouth can no longer get air. So make sure that you got a pathway for air.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, Judy here says, Judy, thank you. I appreciate you writing this in all caps. That's really nice. Okay, it says, about 5 years ago, I learned about BX antitoxin from a couple of integrative physicians. Supposedly, the treatment distributed by Delta Institute normalizes the mitochondria, making it effective for almost any condition. I have recently spoken to doctors who advocated this, but they no longer promote it, but won't tell me why. This is really interesting. Are you familiar with this? And do you, if so, would you comment? Do you know anything about B as in boy, X antitoxin, doc?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either. That's interesting. Okay, Judy, if you can give us some more information, perhaps we can comment, you know, as to what your, maybe if you can just let us know a little bit about what your overall goal with taking that supplement is, and then we could help with that as well. Alexandra says, I have TMJ, and it's becoming more and more painful. What can I do to relieve the pain and get rid of the TMJ?
Cool. You got to get to a chiropractor to have it adjusted, but also look at the biomechanics that's causing it. You've got a cheekbone here, and so if you're sitting like this, you're not going to negatively affect the jaw. If you're sitting like this, you're going to negatively affect the jaw. So look at the biomechanics throughout the day of how you're sleeping, how you're resting. This is okay because you're on the zygomatic process. This right here is not. Also, like the trauma, if you look in the mirror and when you open the jaw, it pivots the first 15 degrees, then falls out of the socket beyond that. And if it swings off to one side, like let's say it swings off to the right at the very furthest opening, that means that the left side is really hypermobile, right side might be fixated. So you might want to chew on the opposite side to stabilize that. But getting it adjusted is going to be the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Alexandra, I've been doing a little bit of research in this lately too as well, and there's a lady that you might want to be interested in. She's a myofascial sort of structural kind of lady. And she does, she has a website called mouthmattersbook.com, M-O-U-T-H matters book. And she's been on our show a few years ago, but I've just sort of been diving into her book more. And she talks a lot about, Doc, the structure of the mouth and where we place our tongue and, how our mouth is formed and how, like with little babies, this is probably why I'm getting into this because, you know, our little twins, little babies sucking on bottles and pacifiers instead of a nipple actually changes the structure in the arch of the mouth, which causes all kinds of health issues. And the main issue it causes is an imbalance of the gases in the blood, like carbon dioxide and hemoglobin and oxygen binding to hemoglobin and things like that. So it's really, really fascinating. All this stuff is connected, isn't it? And so getting adjusted is so huge. And as well as what do you do after the adjustment? Where do you hold your tongue and things like that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once you get the biomechanics down, and always 100% of the time, C1, the top bone of the neck, is involved in the TMJ.
Interesting.
That's why you got to get that baby connected or corrected and that corrected.
Awesome. Okay. So, guest 3949 says aging, my favorite subject. So they'll probably be watching live on Tuesday.
It's going to be fun too, because I mean, we're going to blow through so many different, ridiculous concepts. Like the reason we're seeing more cancer is because we're living longer. Uh-huh. And human lifespan, we've got data that it really hasn't changed in over 2000 years.
Mm.
And so it's going to be a fun talk.
Yeah, people like to question that, don't they? But Doc, our antibiotics and our surgeries, it's keeping us alive longer, isn't it?
No, this generation will not outlive their parents.
Yeah, that's shocking, right?
It's a shocker.
Judy says hello again. So she's asking about a question. I'm not sure if you know about Doc. I'm somewhat familiar with it, but not too much. She says, I'm researching an echo water system. It produces hydrogen water. Plus it has a unit inside the machine, with which a person can change the frequency of the water. Different frequencies are said to be beneficial for certain organs, conditions, etc. What do you think of H2 water? And do you know about the frequency generator? If so, do you have an opinion? Thank you very much, Judy.
Actually, one of our patients is developing vortexing water to change the energy of it. Mm-hmm. And there's when you get into water, it's like one of the most unique fluids on the planet. It has certain properties. It holds a memory. Mm-hmm. So to change the frequency and realize that every aspect of our body is based on frequencies, everything has a certain vibrational level, you change that, you can actually reverse diseases. That was the whole thing with the Rife machines and cancer. All he was doing was changing light frequency and certain tumors would go away. So certain frequencies means that water will be able to get into the cells better. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with a machine that makes hydrogen water called Vital Reaction, and they make little tablets that actually kind of reminds you of like Alka-Seltzer, Doc. And you put these tablets in it, bubbles up and fizzes up, and it actually creates hydrogen water. And then you can get a machine that actually makes it, you know, yourself, so you don't have to keep buying the tablets. But this hydrogen thing seems to be pretty popular right now, isn't it?
Cool. I like that.
It's cool. Yeah. A lot of good stuff. Yeah. Water. The more you get into water. I mean, I was listening to something recently about a doctor who's been able to, it's not the fourth phase of water with that Gerald Pollack talks about, but this guy's been working on something that is, he's creating a solid state of water at room temperature.
Hmm.
How crazy is that?
That's pretty cool. Right. I'd like to see how he's doing that.
I know. It's amazing. So water is like incredibly complex, isn't it?
Yeah, because you'd have to slow down the molecules in order to get more increased surface tension. Mm-hmm. But slowing them down cools it off.
Mm-hmm. Bizarre, right?
Yeah. I'd like to solve that problem.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find the guy's website. Dr. B, is your clinic going to be in Rosarito?
No, the first one is going to be in Tijuana.
Okay.
And we're looking at a house in Rosarito now that's 9,000 square foot.
Whoa.
That may be part of the clinic. But right now we've got a clinic that I'm partnering with called American Holistic Health or American Biodental.
Okay.
And so we're going to start there and then expand out.
That's awesome. How far is Rosarito from Tijuana? Do you know?
Oh, 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. It's right there.
Yeah. Oh,
cool, cool. All right. Amy says, at the beginning of this year, I lost weight going vegan. I haven't really changed the way I eat, but have now put back on the weight, but mainly in my gut region, which I know is not healthy. Can this be caused by not being aligned? I know stress affects it and also the increase in emotional eating because of the weight gain. What can help the emotional eating part? This is a good question.
Oh, yeah. Belly, seat, and thigh weight distribution is cortisol mediated. So that's going to be physical, chemical, or emotional stress for sure. And look at a lot of vegetarians or vegans. They're pastatarians. Okay, so they're consuming a lot of grains. So look at your grain intake, because that's excess energy that's going to be hard to utilize. So what the body does, it just stores it. Also look at... again, with vegans, they do a lot of nuts, and that's a diet high in polyunsaturated fats, and that can slow down the thyroid. So look at the, you know, if you're eating a couple of handfuls of nuts a day, that's great. But if you're doing the almond butter with the almond bread with the almond milk with it, you know, you're polyunsaturated fat through the roof.
Right.
So cortisol mediated metabolic states. So that means that there may be some type of physical, chemical, or emotional stress. Reduce the grains as much as you can, and you'll see it just fall away.
So emotional eating, you know, Doc, we had that guy, Dr. Stephen Gundry on the show. You're probably familiar with his work, The Plant Paradox, and he talks about the plant lectins and things. And he was saying that, you know, cashews and like, you know, some of these nuts have these lectins on them, which basically through a really complex process of binding to proteins and molecules and things. But they are creating a leaky gut, which creates inflammation, which increases cortisol, which would increase weight gain. So there's this aspect too, right? Of eating inflammatory foods like you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. Emotional eating. That's a big one.
Yeah. And also too, one of the things with emotional eating is we've got this automatic nervous system. You got fight or flight, which is the sympathetic or stress state. You get the parasympathetic, which is rest, digest, and repair. So when you, if you're in a chronic state of stress, you eat, you're stimulating that parasympathetic to getting more in balance. So you're doing it for a purpose. Look at the other things that can stimulate a parasympathetic response, like deep sleep protocols, meditation, walking, okay? Not exercising like crazy, but just walking to the general extreme, getting out in nature. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to get that parasympathetic nervous system working correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Guest 3949 says it could be because I work online much and it could be something there. But he wants to know about 3949. Wants to know about a chiropractor in Munich. And I know, Doc, you have that really great YouTube video, 7 questions to ask your chiropractor. But offhand, do you know anybody in Munich by chance?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's challenging. Cher says, pain radiates from my left hip down quad to my knee. I have osteoarthritis in many joints. So orthopedic doctor says hip x-rays show bone on bone and hip replacement is necessary. I have 3 pins in upper femur, slipped epiphysis.
Femoral epiphysis, yeah.
Okay, yeah, at 12 years old. So will need to be removed for new hip. In the meantime, was put on NSAID, meloxicam, so I can function without debilitating pain. Gosh, I feel so bad for you, Cher. Taking it reluctantly, any thoughts or better options?
Oh, God, yes. Most of the time, and so far I've referred 5 people for surgery, most of the time you can save the hip. With knowing that you've had a hip damage or altered mechanics since you were 12, the socket itself will change in relationship to the femur.
Okay.
So a lot of times it will appear that it's bone on bone, but you're just looking at a thicker bone because of the altered mechanics. So what you've got to do is fix everything around it, because hip replacements only last around 10 years. So stabilize the pelvis. You got to get to a corrective chiropractor immediately. Her feet are going to start to flatten out. There may be beginning bunion formation. So you got to do calf stretches. If you look at our pelvic health video, we talk about stabilizing the pelvis as well as doing calf exercises and foot exercises. So even if you get the hip replacement, you fix the biomechanics of the foot. You've stabilized the pelvis. You've restored nerve supply and blood supply. So the hip replacement will last longer. And typically when you fix everything, you might not even need the hip replacement.
Mm-hmm. Doc, what do you think about some lifestyle sort of ways that we live that could be having some issues on our biomechanics, like how we sit, how we walk, how we move, how we stand, you know, where we put our pressure, how we sleep? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of different things that's happening, right, in the way we're living that's causing some foundational issues with these things, right?
Absolutely. That's why when we're sitting, we've got that white foam block that we tell people to use, 20 minutes in, 10 minutes out. We tell office workers to take a 5-minute break every 50 minutes. So every 50 minutes, you stand up, stretch, move around, get blood working, and then you can finish your work. Mm-hmm. And then walking a half hour a day. But look at the biomechanics of the walking, the feet, and the knees. So movement biomechanics as well as appropriate sitting biomechanics. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Let's see here. Any other questions here? Okay, I have to question water having memory, which is what homeopathic uses. If the water has memory of all dilutions, would it not have memories of poisons too? I'm not sure I like this theory of water having memory.
we know the crystals form, okay, from what's that guy from Japan?
Yamamoto. Yeah, Masaru Emoto.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we know the thought or energy directed into water can change the structure of it. And we don't know how it works. And the homeopathy, they keep distilling a poison down. So it has an energetic aspect of that. And it's the law of similars, where if you give the body something similar, it can mount a defense to it and can reverse disease processes, which is kind of similar to what the vaccines are supposed to do, except they're mixing in a whole bunch of different toxic ingredients in that negatively affect the immune system. And then they're looking for an antibody response, which really isn't accurate in immune system function anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why a lot of people that are doing the sort of water stuff are starting with distilled water and then basically essentially stripping it all the frequencies out of all of that, and then sort of adding their own minerals and then adding their own intention and stuff and building upon that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I was just reading something the other day. In municipal tap water, there are over 24,000 different chemicals.
Oh God!
Crazy, right?
Oh, it's nuts! It's nuts!
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Let's see. So that's why it's really important, I would think, to make sure to have, you know, good intentions on your water and thank it and talk to it and put words of blessing on it and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, with the food as well. I mean, when you would get at anything that you put in your body becomes you. And if you do it with an intention of this is healing, this is why on the aging thing, I mean, I'm going to bring up people that smoked, loved sweets, didn't like vegetables, drank, and they're 115. But consistently, they had an attitude of gratitude, and they experienced joy, and they had a way to give back. So it's interesting that, of course, you know, I mean, 100 years ago, they only had organic.
Right.
And they didn't have all the medications, so they lived a different lifestyle.
Yeah, that lady that you're talking about, the one, I think she was 122, the one that I think she was in France or something, and she was known for also eating like a pound of chocolate a week.
Yep. Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and when she passed, there was a British gal who would love, I think it's brandy, eggs, and bacon.
Wow.
And so, you know, I don't know if that was every meal, but she just felt that she liked it. Good, so stiff drink.
Yeah, it's a stiff drink. So, Doc, I got to ask you, what do you think? What does your gut say? Like, I'm starting to learn and think more and more as we interview more and more unique people on our show, that food, although really, really important, doesn't seem to be that important. I mean, like you said, this attitude of gratitude, having strong genes and living a clean, detoxified lifestyle. It seems to me that food is kind of far down. I mean, but although food is really important as well, but what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Good. When you look at, like superfoods, great. They're very, very good. But you look at the chemical processing and the preservatives and all of that, that's toxic. And if you eat normal, healthy food grown in normal, healthy soil, and if you're going to eat animals, normal, healthy animals, but just follow the pattern. It's not because your body's going to take that apple or that broccoli or that cheese and break it to the protein, fats, carbohydrates, and build your body out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's not essential unless it's poisonous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, non-poisonous food would probably be the key. You could eat just about anything you want.
Yeah, and then just make sure that you're living a stress-free life, that you're having fun, you're connecting with people, you're living in gratitude and doing what you're here to do. That's really the key, isn't it?
It really is the key. That's what you'll see consistently.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I'm so curious because that's so funny that you say that lady was eating. I mean, smoking is known to cause lung cancer and all these diseases, but why did this person live so long smoking, you know?
Well, she didn't smoke 20 cigarettes a day, okay, like the average American. Yeah. She smoked one a day, and she stopped smoking the last few years, I think at 117, because she felt it was rude to ask other people to light her cigarette.
Oh, my goodness. That's so we had a doc on the show a while back, and it was really interesting. He was sharing this funny story of him at the health food store, and he was looking at some of the different products to buy, and he was looking at buying one. And then there was like this older lady who was, I think, like 30 years older than him. I think he was in his 60s at the time. And she said, "Oh, you're Dr. So-and-so. I've heard you on the radio, and I've heard all your stuff. What supplement do you think I should be buying, you know?" And then he went into his whole, you know, sort of speech about this kind of stuff, right? And then he said it dawned on him. Like, this lady is 30 years older than me. I haven't even gotten to her age yet. You know, who am I to give her advice, right? Uh-huh. It's so crazy, right? Because this lady that you're talking about, she's 122, smoked every day. So obviously that worked for her, right?
Well, when doing the research, there was this one young girl asking this 106-year-old gal, "Well, what's the secret to living to 106? And the old woman looked at him and looked at her and said, "Well, don't die."
That's so simple.
And so, you know, you make it less complicated, you get less stress. None of these people have a fear of death. None of them, because they've seen it throughout their whole life. Wow. And they have an appreciation for every morning. The attitude of gratitude is more important than what you put in your system.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Judy wants to know, going back to the antitoxin, you asked me if I had any more information. So she says, a person joins Delta Institute for a year. Wow, I don't even know what this is. For $17,000 and is provided with pills and or self-administered shots to use for a certain length of time. A Dr. Smith, can't remember first name, formulated the serum, and it's being used many places around the world. I don't know what it's made from, but because it works directly on the mitochondria, the same substance is used for basically any condition. Wow, I don't know what. Doc, I don't know anything about this Delta Institute.
I don't know. I know that. Well, I mean, antitoxin is going to be against poisons. But your body already has everything in there. I mean, it could be like EDTA that would detoxify people from heavy metals. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. But you already got the vitamin IVs that can detox. You got IV chelation, oral chelation, the juicing, blending. I mean, unless you've had severe, like radiation exposure or heavy metal exposure, you know, 17 grand for vitamins and supplements and, I don't know.
Yeah, you can go. It seems like you can go get that. I'm going to look that up online afterwards, Delta Institute. Okay, so let's move on. I mean, it does, if it works on mitochondria, that's great because, you know, mitochondria is a nice deep place to start working on. But Cher says, can cartilage actually be rejuvenated in such a large joint as a hip?
Absolutely. Nice. And this is the fun stuff because on parts of the bone that are underneath a solid force loading, they'll say, well, it's avascular. That means there's not blood vessels there. And this is with most heavy joints.
Okay.
But it's not acellular. It has cells. And the cells are alive. Okay. So because you don't have dead tissue in your body. So that means that those cells got to take in nutrients, produce proteins, and eliminate waste products. So in heavy joints, you know, like hips or knees, they get their nutrients through the synovial fluid, which is around that joint. And so you alter the nerve supply, blood supply, and do a distractive force on that and create inflammation at the joint. Then you can regenerate cartilage.
So it's actually you're creating inflammation by the adjustment that's causing the cartilage to regrow?
Absolutely, because if you take that hip and distract it, and we'll have people do a 5, 10, 20-pound weight on their leg and to either distract the knee joint or distract the hip joint, so it's under a decompressive force, and we're straining that area. And if you can distract it and then put moist heat on it, you're increasing the metabolic response, and you literally can start to see the joint increase.
That is interesting. Wow. Okay. Good to know. All right, let's go back to the chat room. You guys are so cool. Let's see. Oh, a follow-up question from Cher on that. But off chance, Doc, do you know any good corrective chiropractors in Riverside or San Bernardino, Redlands area?
No, just use the 7 questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and if you find them, let me know, because we've got a bunch of people that come from Riverside.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. I just wonder why people don't put more research money in mental health. If you are happy and have some chronic illness, you will feel more alive than someone who is healthy but has clinical depression. If we could find a secret to happiness, we would be okay, right?
We know the secret to happiness. Okay, you look for the physical, chemical, and emotional stress and break down the walls that limit ourselves. Because a lot of people, they're living in a state of what's called what delusion is. And so they're either not living within their own value system. So they're saying, oh, I should have done that. I should have done that. And that means that you're not in harmony with your own values. So realize that you can actually change that focus. Demartini Breakthrough Process is a really good seminar series. That's ideal. But when you look at most depressions and anxieties, those are delusional aspects of what your perception is. Mm-hmm. And you can change your perception.
Mm-hmm. So key, so key. I agree with what this person is saying, that if you're in a good state with the mental health and you have a chronic illness, you're going to be more alive on a mental, spiritual, emotional level and feel more vibrant than you are with someone who is clinically depressed. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, guys, if you are in the chat room, I mean, Dr. Bergman, we've got a few more minutes left. And as you guys probably know, I mean, he's booked out for like a year and a half. And he's a difficult guy to get a hold of. But you, because you're here in the chat room live, get access to him. So if you have any questions in the chat room, I will make sure to ask them before we go on to any of the questions that were submitted. So right now we're going to go back to a couple of the questions that were submitted. And give you guys a chance to ask some questions in the chat room. The next one is from Lisa Wood, and she has a question about eye health issues. Suggestions for flashing lights in the eye and very dry eye. My eye doctor said I do not have a retinal tear yet. I've been living very clean and following all of Dr. Bergman's advice to treat physical, chemical, and emotional stress for over a year. I'm doing much, much better, but still in recovery with adrenal issues. Issues, leaky gut, et cetera, due to prolonged severe stress.
Ah, cool. Yeah, they're doing everything perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the eye, look at increasing your healthy fats. That'll help a lot. You know, so healthy omega-3s from small fish, like anchovy, sardine, or mackerel. Mm-hmm. And then also a moist heat, because you got the lacrimal gland, which is the tear duct on the outside of the eye. Just putting moist heat on that, okay, will start to get blood to the area and start to make it function more correctly. And so that will be something. Watch eye drops and things, because that can have a negative effect on the eye. Just do moist heat on the outside of the eye, and that'll help that. But dealing with the stress and increase in fat, you're going to knock it out.
Interesting. Yeah. And so what do you think about, there's a doctor on our show a while back talking about fried foods and how fried food is one of the, is just very particular because of the, volatility of the oils that have been fried. They're one of the worst foods for the eyes. Have you heard that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. The free radical formation on that. That's why anytime you get oil that's clear, you know, like corn oil or cottonseed oil or canola oil, they had to like burn that oil to, or actually they utilize a lot of times detergents to get the oil out of the seed. And then they have to heat up the oil to burn off the detergent. And so they're just creating free radicals, but it looks really good on the store shelves.
Tell me what you think, Doc, about some of these things that I've heard over the years for eye health. There's a doctor on our show a while back talking about wheatgrass eye cups. You know, there's like those little eye cups that you can get and you can put, solutions in there. He was talking about doing wheatgrass eye cups. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah. He was talking about like, doing like ocean grown wheatgrass if you can, you know, but that's difficult to do, because grass is the only, you know, plant that uptakes all 92 minerals, and then, putting that diluted into an eye cup and, helping to remineralize the eye. And I thought that was interesting, but I had never heard of it before.
You know what? Also going swimming in the ocean and opening your eyes underwater. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's right.
God, that used to freak me out. Anytime I got sun to my eye to do that eye cup and you got to tilt it back, then you got to open your eye, that always freaked me out. Right now I'm getting the heebie-jeebies from thinking that's wheatgrass.
I know. I've never tried that. Some people put castor oil in their eye or drops of urine in their eye. A guy who was on our shows did urine in his eye, and he claimed, or MSM in their eye, diluted MSM water because of the sulfur compounds. But I've never done any of that stuff, but I hear it's really great.
Well, last weekend I was swimming in Catalina in about 60 degree water, and I was opening my eyes underwater. So, but yeah, it was cold.
I bet. You know, astaxanthin has been known also, right? A really, really small, tiny molecule, an antioxidant, and tremendous for the eye, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Astaxanthin's one of the best.
Astaxanthin. Okay, let's see here. Cool. Got some other questions that are live. Let's see. What does Dr. Bergman, this is from Adele, up in LA. What does Dr. Bergman think about cupping? Not just at the doctors, but using a few times a week at home to keep your fascia healthy. There is also a device called a fascia blaster that has taken the world by storm. I've actually heard about that, with a Facebook page of 350,000 people. Wow. But also has a class action lawsuit for about 4,000 women who said they were damaged. What do you think about cupping, Doc?
Well, cupping's good. It, you know, doing it in the right areas, it's going to rush blood to the area, can help detox, you know, a few thousand years old, fantastic. To worry about fascia, I wouldn't. Fascia is around every tissue in the body. I mean, it's around the muscle fibrils. There's fascia everywhere. And fascia is not going to break down unless you've had a direct trauma. If you've had a direct trauma, there could be scar tissue there, and that's where you would need it. But if you have sore and stiffness, like in all the large muscle groups, look at the other aspects. Look at nutrients. Look at the physical, chemical, emotional aspect to it. Look at instability, okay, of if you're talking the legs. Look at instability of the pelvis. Look at altered joint mechanoreceptors, because there's sensors in every joint you got. And those sensors actually govern the tone of the muscle. So there may be an extremity problem or a joint problem as well.
Interesting. So, Doc, going back to rejuvenating cartilage in the hip, Cher wants to know, does it matter if the person is older?
Nope. No, the key with as we age, we're always laying down new tissue. The reason people wrinkle as they age is they're producing less stomach acid, and it's harder to get the proteins broken down to amino acids, so you don't have the right building products. So juicing, blending, and supplement will compensate for the older you are and the less stomach acid you're producing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a doc that was on a long time ago on our show, and he was talking about stomach acid. And he went into like all of the things that the downline processes that happen when you don't have enough stomach acid. And it was fascinating to learn like a lot of these diseases people are getting are starting because there's not enough acid in the stomach. And then it's like a cascading effect, right?
Yeah, just look at the effects of the proton pump inhibitors. I mean, you're talking, these are antacids. A side effect is heart attack, dementia, increased cancer rates, everything. And that's from lowering your stomach acid.
That's absolutely nuts. Judy says once more about BX antitoxin. Yes, Justin, I'd really appreciate if you would go to Delta's Institute's website and possibly do some research. Whoops, the question went away. Let me get this back up. And possibly do some research. I trust what you and Dr. Bergman might come up with. I'd be interested for diabetes, but I'm very suspicious since two doctors who promoted are no longer affiliated, but they are very vague about why they've dropped out. So it's sounds to me, Doc, that Judy here is interested in this product because of diabetes. And I know that that's the course that we're working on this month, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So if it is diabetes, it's more than likely type 2. Type 2, you just go 100% vegan. Okay. And look at the physical, chemical, and emotional stress load. Mm-hmm. And you'll see within a week that blood sugars start to normalize.
Mm-hmm. So if what fasting blood sugar should ideally be around like 75, 85 in the morning, do you think?
Kind of, but it's hard to get a hard and fast number.
Okay.
Like let's say somebody is under stress and they didn't sleep good. Their blood sugar is going to be higher. It'll be 120, 150.
I see.
Okay, let's say they have an activity that day. So emotional stress can elevate blood sugar.
Oh, interesting. You know what? I've just been learning, too, that dirty electricity in the walls. Also, there's a lot of studies now showing that that's affecting diabetes and blood sugar issues and insulin issues. This electricity in our walls. I mean, who would have thought, right?
Because anything that puts your body under stress is going to initiate that stress response. And that breaks down tissue faster than it's building up.
Mm-hmm. Guest 7665 says, really curious about the infrared sauna. I hear great things about it, but considering effects of EMF, lack of long-term safety studies, and the fact that no one can definitively say how it affects us on a cellular level, is it really safe or better than a regular sauna? It seems counterintuitive to bypass our skin and heat ourselves arbitrarily from the inside out.
It's not like a microwave. It heats up the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not like, you know, your liver is getting heated up first. So it uses the infrared to heat the air up, and then that heats up your body. The benefit of elevating your temperature is so good for detoxing an immune system. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot. And I've looked at the infrared where they have the ceramic core. They've got all the different types. And the one that we got from you works really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much evidence showing the benefits of far infrared from increasing heat shock proteins. And Doc, I know you talked about for every increase in degree in temperature, your immune system increases as well, and sweating out toxins and chemicals. And we're going to have someone on our show from the Environmental Health Institute in Dallas, Texas. And they've actually done assays of people's fat, and they've done before and after far infrared sauna sessions so that they can look at the chemical load in someone's actual fat cells before and after sessions. And you know, there's a reason why cultures around the world have been doing saunas for thousands of years, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Before we end, I gotta order Sarah a trampoline.
Oh my gosh, I know. I so apologize, Doc. We will get Sarah a trampoline at Bellicon.
Any color.
Okay. Okay, any color and any size or anything, is it's good?
Anything that you want. I mean, she's, 5 foot tall and this big around, so.
Okay. We will make sure and get her one, most definitely.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I apologize for that. Let's take a couple more. And Judy wants to know real quick, as a follow-up, she's tried vegan and can't maintain. Any other diet suggestions?
Yeah, vegan is not, the problem with being vegan is the B vitamin production and what you're getting in your system. Vegetarian, plant-based, is the best in the world. There's tons of vegetarian cultures where they get animal proteins from either insects or dairy, and it's better for the planet. Yeah, and watch the challenge with vegans, or they're going to be maybe high in grains, high in nuts. So just a standard plant-based diet. I mean, get the book, The Blue Zones, read it, follow it. Good if they stuff. Eat animals, they're eating it once a week to once a month, very little eggs, all healthy, all organic. I mean, just good.
That's good stuff. Cher wants to know, what brand is the Far Infrared Sauna Dr. Bourbon got from Justin? It's the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Cher, I put a link to the recommended products page inside the Academy if you want to check it out. We've had Phil Wilson. We're good friends with him. He's the sort of sole distributor of the Relax Far Infrared Sauna for the United States. And we've had him on our show multiple times. He's a good friend of ours and a good guy doing good things. And, his heart is aligned in the right places. So I like what he's doing. And, I've been using a sauna for about 7 years. I'd say probably on average about 5 days a week. And that's one of the best things I've ever done for my health. And the way I look at it is, Doc, like this, I think of things in terms of like what happens over the course of time. So like if you were to actually wipe off all of the sweat that has come off my body and using it 5 days a week for 52 weeks for 7 years, that's got to be a good pound of sweat or more. And if there's a lot of toxins and chemicals, imagine how much toxicity I've gotten out of my body over that amount of time, right?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. I made it 25 minutes once.
Uh-huh.
I typically make it 20 minutes and it's miserable, but I do it once a week.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Let's take one more question from the email. Greg wants to know about cannabis and cancer. And what are your thoughts, Doc, on non-psychotic cannabis for treating cancers?
It actually, the CBD is a good antioxidant. That's the non-psychoactive one. But when you look at the psychoactive components, there's stuff in there that's unusual. And you know, it's like Mother Nature's miracle. They're utilizing, the full on THC and CBD in breast cancer and in England, in the world. It has suppositories, using it for skin cancer. I mean, the documentation of how effective it is for brain cancers, breast cancer, it's incredible. The non-psychoactive component, though, without the THC, I don't know. I do some different studies. It's kind of like when we start screwing around with Mother Nature, we make it not as effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want the whole plant, right? I mean, because you're removing a lot of the cofactors and different things that are going on with the plant. When you start separating these things out, it just gets kind of weird, right?
Yeah, and that's what they started to do for breast cancer in England, suppositories, mm-hmm. so that way they're not going to get as stoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All right, Doc. Well, I should let you go because you have a course to continue to film, and that's the diabetes course. So I should definitely let you go, Doc.
Okay, buddy. This has been really fun. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and it's been a blast.
Awesome. Thanks, Doc. I'm just going to answer Adele's question, but I appreciate you and taking the time to do this, my friend.
Thanks, man. Now I'm going to go film.
Awesome.
Yeah, all right, nice, Doc. Nice relaxing Sunday.
Love you, Doc.
Love you, man.
Have a good one. Okay, so there's Dr. Bergman. Hey, guys, I wanted to ask or answer your question real quick, Adele. As far as the Bellicon goes, the Bellicon that I use is the big one, and I got the big one specifically because I always just buy the biggest and best to start with, but now that I have one, I would buy the small one because I don't really do much on the Bellicon. I just jump up and down. A lot of people do really heavy workouts with them, and they're doing all kinds of different movements. I don't do it for that. I just do it for the up and down G-force. So I would get the smallest, cheapest one. I like the folded legs on the Bellicon because you can, you can fold it up and put it underneath your bed and store it easily. So I would definitely get the foldable legs, the smallest one, and then just get whatever color you want as well as the strength of the mat as well. So Adele, I just want to let you know that Bellicon is just the best. I was just on it. If you follow our Instagram, you can see I was just jumping on mine right before I came here, actually. It's on our Instagram story. So just want to let you guys know. All right, guys, I think that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for, oh gosh, is it the Classic or the Premium? I don't remember. My Bellicon has got to be a good 6-7 years old now. I don't remember. I think it was the Classic that I got. But like I said, if I could, I would have bought the smaller one because the one that I have is just way too big and, it just doesn't do any good for me to have something that big, but it's cool. I love it. I wouldn't go with any other brand than the Bellicon. So anyway, thank you guys. Adele, you're awesome. I really appreciate you so much. And, I need to get back with you, Adele, on the affiliate link. So I got a response back from the company who is doing the affiliate links, and I really apologize for not getting back to you sooner. I will, though, because I know you wanted to share the affiliate link to the Academy, so I apologize for that. It's been so crazy with twins and everything else, so I really apologize. I'll get back to you on that. But guest 1209 says, a lengthy topic, apologies, jumping in, end of session. What support and detox protocols would you recommend looking into prior to following an influenza immunization should it become unavoidable? Oh, gosh. I don't know if you've done the shot already. It looks like obviously you want to do liver health. So you want to make sure that you're doing a colon cleanse, a liver health, a liver cleanse. There's all kinds of different liver health protocols that you can do from, flushes and things like that. Coffee enemas are going to be great. Ways to detox the blood, high dose B vitamin therapy. You can do IV vitamin C and vitamin infusions to help clean your blood. You can use the SOTA device, the electronic pulser that they have to help clean your blood along with B vitamins. There's a lot of different ways you can use or different things you can do to clean the blood. Obviously just juicing as well as staying hydrated is going to be incredible for cleaning the blood. So, don't go get an influenza. Please, please, please. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. I will see you guys next week. And we have a live show. If you guys want to come join the Extreme Health Radio live show tomorrow morning, 10:45 a.m. Pacific time, that's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking about gut health and the microbiome if you guys are interested. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, all right. Love you guys very much. Thank you, Adele. You rock. Please link for the Bellicon. I think guest 3949, let me put it here for you. I think it's under the recommended products section of our, we have a couple products that we recommend inside the Academy, and that's the sauna and the Bellicon Rebender. I think it is there. So, love you guys. All right, guys, thank you so much. We love you very, very much. Stay tuned for more sessions. Typically, these happen every Sunday at around 1 or 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. So thank you guys for joining us. We love you very much, and we'll catch you guys on the next members hangout. All right, guys, love you. Bye-bye.